Our first scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Our second scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 and 41. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Our sermon today is from Becky Van Horn, Honor and Its Reward.
Good morning. Y'all are going to need your Bibles because we're going to do some reading out of the scriptures today. So honor and its reward, what does that all mean? A few months ago, our Sabbath school class did a study on honor's reward by John Bevere. And I may be calling on some of my class members today a little bit to see what they remember. And review is good for everybody, so... there is so much information in this book about honoring that it could be a sermon series for weeks. And we ran into that in our class. So I'm just going to touch on a few points this morning in regards to honor and the reward that it can bring us. And like I said in the children's story, I wish that I had known this information before we went away to Africa and India, because my attitude towards them would have been totally different. Because the way they treated us, I felt uncomfortable. Because like in India, they sat the four of us at a table by ourselves at the front of the sanctuary, and everybody else ate their food sitting on the floor. We had utensils to eat with. They ate with their fingers. We had cups to drink out of. They shared a cup. And I can't tell you, I felt like I needed to be sitting back there. And so, but I understand now the principle. When we prayed for those people, they got what they asked for. They got what they needed. God healed them, like on the spot, because of the honor that they were showing us meant that they were honoring God by the way they honored us. And so that last scripture has taken on a whole new meaning for me. In Scripture, God sets out four divisions of delegated authority that we are to show honor to. Civil authority, which is, anybody? Government. Social authority. Anybody remember? Our bosses and our teachers would be our social authority. Family, moms and dads. Grandpas and grandmas. Church authority. God, pastors, elders, teachers, leaders. And there's rewards attached to each one of these to honoring these. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. And if somebody gets that, I need you to stand up and read it really loud for me. Mark, would you stand up and read 13, 1 through 7?
Romans 13,
1 to 7.
1 through 7. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God.
Excuse me just a second. This not only applies to government, it applies to every aspect of all of these four things. So go ahead.
Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor.
Thank you. And I have written down here at the side of my Bible on the page, it says, pay your debt. So we're to pay our debts back. So, once again, Emma, can you tell me once again what honor means? Real loud.
Honor means to appreciate someone and respect them.
Excellent. That's right. To value, to show respect, and to appreciate. So, what does dishonor look like? That's exactly right. You don't show respect to them. You treat them as ordinary or common, to treat shamefully. So, you know that honor originates in the heart. Isaiah 29:13 says, "The Lord said, 'These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of rules taught by men.'" You know, to me, that's kind of a scary thing. Because we put on a front when we're talking to people or when we're around people that we're around all the time. But there's stuff that's going through our brains. And God knows what that stuff is. And it's exposed to him. He knows what's in here. So we really need to be on guard all the time about what's in here, because it's going to come out here. Every time. It's going to eventually come out your mouth, whatever it is you're thinking. And we got to think, am I honoring God? Are my thoughts, my attitudes, my intentions honoring to God? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about, it gives an overview of what happened with the Israelites. They did not honor God when they were out in the desert, particularly. They whined, they complained, they were miserable. They gave Moses nothing but trouble. And you know what God did with them? He killed them. There were dead bodies from one end of that desert to the other because they dishonored God. So in Matthew 10, 40 to 41, what we read this morning, the scripture talks about receiving rewards for honoring others. There are three kinds of rewards. There's a full reward, there's a partial reward, and there is no reward. So we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about this. So, Jamie, would you look up Matthew 8, and read Matthew 8, 5 to 13 for us.
When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And the servant was healed at that moment.
That centurion received a full reward. His servant was healed 100% completely. And I believe that that centurion did not leave Jesus' presence without knowing that he was his Lord and Savior. He knew the principle that the only way to have authority is to be under authority. I'm going to say it one more time. The only way to have authority is to be under authority. The centurion was under the authority of his commander. The centurion was the commander over his men. They did what he told him to do, and the centurion did what his commander told him to do. So he understood that principle and how it worked. And that's how the kingdom of God works. We are under Christ's authority. Christ is under God's authority. Jesus has given us authority. So we are able to do the things that Christ has called us to do here on earth. Okay, Mark 7, 24 to 30. Whoever gets that. Mark 7, 24 to 30.
Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyrene. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone.
It was interesting in the book, John Bevere says, "Can you imagine an American woman today putting up with what Jesus just said?" He said, "The women in America today, are you calling me a dog? What are you doing? There ain't no way." And as a result, she would have never received her reward. This Syrophoenician woman never faltered. She continued to believe Jesus and to pull through. I think I lost my battery or something.
Anyway, she continued to persist, and Jesus rewarded her with healing her daughter. Station break.
So Jesus, she honored Jesus by continuing to show him reverence and respect in that entire conversation. Jesus drew her faith out, and in return, she was rewarded. Okay, Mark 14, 6 to 9.
Six to nine.
You alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She had done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body before to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she had done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas asked
her. That's good. Thank you. That's perfect.
Thank you.
So the woman, as we remember the story, poured oil on Jesus' feet. Her reward, she would be remembered for all time. And Jesus praised her for anointing him. She prepared him for his burial. You know, Jesus also constantly honored his Father. In all that he did, he always, in all the miracles and everything, he said, "Don't look at me. Look at God. God's the one." He always pointed the finger back up to God. It's not me, it's God the Father. Because when Jesus was here on earth, he had our understanding. He had our, yes, but he prayed all the time. He spent so much time in prayer. I would say he spent probably 3/4 of his life praying and in communion with Father. In John 13:20, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." So there again, we go back to that Matthew 10 scripture. It's the same principle. Okay, let's move on. So who got a partial reward? Let's look at Mark chapter 6. One to six. Anybody?
Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household." And how far did you say?
Clear on down to the end, to six.
Okay. And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. And he was going around the villages teaching.
Okay, did you notice here? He says to them that a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. And five, I never noticed this before until just recently. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. because they dishonored him, he wasn't able to do any miracles. He was only able to heal just a few. I never noticed that before. Jesus was restrained because of their lack of honor. Once again, Jesus said, "He who accepts me accepts the Father." Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 5, 17. And if somebody has the KJV, King James, do you have a King James back there? Lily? No? Okay. I'm going to read this. Or do you have the King James? Okay, go. That'd be great. Luke 5, verse 17.
Mm-hmm. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present in them.
Thank you. I think, I didn't notice this one either. First off, it said, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. They were having a ministers' conference with Jesus right there. They were all there. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'm going to read out of this book because he explains it way better than I could. In the Gospels, we find another incident where Jesus is in a house teaching a multitude of teachers and experts of the scriptures. These ministers came out of every town in Galilee and Judea to hear him. We read, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice the word them. This would definitely refer to those in attendance. Now let me make a statement of truth. God never wastes anything. Oh yes, consider the time Jesus fed the 4,000 and again the 5,000. In both cases, he gave strict instructions to gather all the leftovers up so that none would be lost. What many of us would have thrown away or dumped into the garbage disposal, he collected. You can see this same pattern throughout all of Scripture in God's ways. He never wastes anything. So if the power of the Lord was present to heal the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that means that there was at least one of them, and more than likely several, who needed to be healed. In this I speak from experience. Let's bring it forward to the present. Gather a few hundred people in a room, and with a group that large, there are at least a dozen or many times more who have some kind of ailment. God's power is there to heal them all, but not one of them is healed. Later, some men brought their paralyzed friend on a stretcher, and after failing to gain entrance by the front door because the building was jammed full, they tried another route. Rather than give up, they went out onto the housetop, tore open the tile roof, and let the paralytic down into the midst of Jesus. We read, when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Notice Luke writes, the Pharisees began to reason, saying, let's probe a little deeper. Did these leaders whisper to their comrades sitting nearest to them? Did they congregate in small groups and discuss Jesus' statement with one another? To bring clarity, we need to go to Matthew's account. He writes, they said within themselves. This is verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 3 in Matthew. So we see these teachers dishonored Jesus only with their thoughts. They spoke within themselves. They didn't speak aloud, shameful, critical, or degrading words, but rather they were contrary only in thought. Mark writes as well that they were reasoning in their hearts. Listen to Jesus' response to their thoughts. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go on home." Immediately the paralytic rose up, picked up his bed, and walked out of the building in full sight of all the ministers. The Bible records that these preachers and teachers all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before." They were all amazed, but none of them was healed. They received no reward because they dishonored Jesus merely by way of thought, and he knew it. In this incident, it wasn't their actions nor their words, but their unvoiced thoughts. Remember, honor or dishonor can be displayed in deed, word, or thought, and all true honor originates from the heart. So this is pretty much all foundational information that we've been given on honor here that we can put into action in our own lives. Husbands to wives, honor your wives. Wives to husbands, honor your husbands. Parents to children, children to parents. Social leaders are your bosses or your teachers. So the reward there, if we are good workers, our boss will reward us with maybe a raise, a promotion, whatever. Teachers reward us with good grades and promoting us to the next grade level. We bless our work, our bosses with a good day's work. And when they see us, this just popped into my head. My boss is going to church now. Amen. I've worked there for 22 years and she's going to church.
Hallelujah. All right.
And the girl that works next to me is going to church now. You know, it's just, you be the light and the salt. And to me, that's a huge reward. That's just awesome. It's just awesome.
Yes.
So, civil leaders, our government leaders, and their job is to protect us, and our job is to be a good citizen. You know, I've been reading, and I read through the Bible every year, and I've just finished reading up about David and Saul. And, you know, David honored Saul his entire life. He called Saul God's anointed. And David actually, in his relationship with Saul, I think covered all of these. The husband, the church, the social, the civil. Because Saul was his father-in-law. He was also his boss. He was also the leader of Israel. He encompassed all those things. David had two opportunities to kill Saul, and he refused to do it because he was God's anointed. Amen. He honored him his entire life. I'm going to share Darwin's story of when he was in India. And some of you have already heard this story, but I just think it applies. when we were out in the villages and we had prayer lines, and Darwin had a line of 20 or more young people that had come to ask for blessing, and we were having issues with translation and getting everybody to understand what was going on. And he asked in his line of young people, because they take English, and if anybody could interpret for him. And this young lady said, sure, she'd be glad to. And she came up and stood beside Darwin and interpreted for him. And when they finished, he turned to her and he said, and what can we pray for you? And she turned to him and he said, this whole side of her face was swollen and she had blood trickling out of her ear. And he said, oh my goodness, you have stood here for the last hour and a half and endured to serve and honor God by serving me. And you were the one in need of prayer. That's what our life is to look like, whether it kills us or not. You know, I skipped over church leaders, and I shouldn't have. You know, our pastor and elders and teachers in the congregation, and the congregation are to honor back our pastor by not criticizing him, by not texting or working on our calculators during worship services, by being on time. This honors our pastor. This honors our church leaders. And I thank Jamie and Marissa, because this is one thing in class that they changed in their life, was being at Sabbath school on time. Amen. When they were in class, this made an impact on their lives. And it changed for you guys, didn't it? I really think it changed for you guys. And I thank God for that. But we are to honor each other, to treat each other with respect and honor. And honor from your heart results in rewards from God the Father, the giver of all good things. Let's pray. Holy Father, we just thank you for loving us where we are, for opening our eyes to see some of these things today. We just ask, Lord God, that you will help us to honor one another, not only in word and deed, but in thought from our heart. We thank you, God, for our pastor and wife and family. And we do ask your blessing, anointing, and covering for them, for all of them, and the children, the grandchildren, and all. For each and every family in this congregation, Lord, that you have blessed us to be a community of brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, to respect one another, to honor each other, and to give wholeheartedly to one another. We've got some challenges here, Lord, with Marge being sick and Johnny moving and Mark needing a full-time job and Jamie needing a full-time job, Lord. And people, other folks needing healing. Lord, we ask that you would change our hearts to honor you first. As we learn to honor each other and to step up to the plate and help each other. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.